To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. You know what to do. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. I would love you to give the series a rating and a review wherever you're listening from as well. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests drop by. Ben Folds was just here. I talked with the cast of Zombies 4 on Disney. Wet Leg, Renee Elise Goldsberry, you know her from Hamilton and Girls 5 Eva, Lucy Dacus, Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips from Luna, Alan Walker, Randy Bachman, Zara Larson, Seth MacFarlane, Shirley Manson, Mark Hamill, Finn Wolfhard. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today it's a special rewind episode, looking back at two interviews, one with Caroline Polachek and Allison Goldfrapp, two vocalists who could possibly sing a grocery store list and make it sound like avant-garde pop bliss. Caroline, formerly of Chairlift, has turned heartbreak and hyper-pop into an art form, floating somewhere between Baroque synths and Enyaqor, let's say. Allison, meanwhile, has spent decades wrapping disco, glam, and electroclash into one shimmering Goldfrapp package. And lately, she stepped out solo just to remind us she can still make the dance floor melt. So we're going to start back in 2012 with Caroline Polachek. This is back when she was still in Chairlift. They had just released the album Something, which we got to get candid about. She talked about her hand dancing video fever dream and her teenage nu metal past. All that and more in this part one of a special Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Caroline Polachek.
The record, Something, it's brilliant. And I don't mean to used to blow smoke your way right at the beginning, but I've not been able to stop listening to it for the past few weeks. So the first thing that jumps out at me as I first heard it was your sense of melody in this has grown so much. I mean, even, you know, beyond when you get to the lyrics and obviously the musical directions, what you're doing vocally is just, I mean, it's almost like hook after hook after hook. So what went on in the last years that led you to, you know, to, was that a strong focus is what I guess what I'm asking here?
I guess the relationship between my voice and the melodies just comes right out of pleasure. Like I see hooks as things that are actually really enjoyable to sing, that are kind of like, you know, how do I put it? Almost like ways that you can like massage your own body from the inside, because it kind of feels good to do it. I know it sounds like super sexual, but I like writing lines that are really fun for my voice to sing and kind of sink its claws into a little bit. So I think, I think it was a kind of non-intellectual inspiration.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's all throughout the record. And just, I think a lot of artists have trouble finding one great melody for a record. And I think you've probably nailed like a dozen or so.
Thank you.
Yeah. So while you were making this, though, and all of all the success that you got from the debut record, was there ever that spot where you said, oh, geez, we got to follow that one up? You know, Bruises was that whole thing that Bruises was. Do we have to follow Bruises up, or is this whatever it's going to be?
Well, the interesting thing was I didn't feel that we needed actually to write anything that resembled Bruises, but we were very aware of the fact that there was an audience now for our stuff, and in particular an audience that was looking forward to kind of two particular aspects of our stuff. One being the kind of like sugary positive melody of Bruises. I think that's what people, really liked about that song. And then on the other hand, the kind of like dreamlike wordplay that happened on a lot of the other songs. And it was interesting kind of having days where I thought, like, yeah, I totally get that about our stuff, and I want to do that too. And then other days where I was like, well, fuck that. That's not what I feel like writing today, so I'm not going to. And and both were okay. So it was kind of feeling the tension that sometimes we use to our advantage and sometimes not. But, it was definitely there, yeah.
And you got paired down to a duo this time around.
Yeah, we did. That was actually our decision. Our former guitarist, Aaron, towards the end of touring the first record, was starting to kind of come up with very different ideas for how he wanted to make his future work than how we did. So instead of trying to, what's the word? Instead of trying to smush those two ideas together, we just separated to make two different projects.
So as you're going about this, and I've noticed this lately, now that you're putting out all the publicity photos and getting ready to ramp up, I mean, art is—it's no surprise. Art has always been the other side of chairlift. You have the music, and then you know. When you're putting all this together, is it a persona that you guys are trying to project? Is that part of it in the photos, in the videos?
It's definitely not a persona. I almost wish that I had one, because that would make things a little bit easier. it's more just trying to find a visual way to represent the character that I feel like we are in the music. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of sly, kind of playful, kind of sexy, but kind of obtuse and manic at the same time. So it's been a really exciting challenge to try and find just kind of different ways to access that. And I think we're actually starting to get somewhere. We're working with our good friend Alejandro as an art director, and he has very similar taste in music and sense of humor actually as we do, so it's really nice to have someone else to kind of bounce ideas off of and get inspiration from.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Caroline Polachek.
Quite a bit of attention off of the video for Eminem Amnesia. It's not the first time you guys danced in a video, but it seemed like it definitely brought out the lovers and the haters.
Oh, which is fine. It was weird because that was the first song that we released off this record, and that was the first thing that kind of broke the radio silence that we'd had for about a year and a half while we were making the record. And I really had a feeling like there was nothing to lose because I kind of felt like we didn't exist anymore. Like we kind of stopped doing anything publicly for so long that I kind of stopped being aware of anyone watching us or caring. So it's kind of like, well, but and I'd had this idea kicking around in my head for literally about 6 months that I wanted to do a sign language dance. That I wanted to kind of set the different synthesizer sounds and lyrics in that song to like very literal hand gestures and almost teach them as if it was an instructional video for American Sign Language. And right before actually digging into that idea, right as we were mastering the record and starting to think about the first video, my dad, completely unrelated, showed me a ballet piece on YouTube from the mid-60s by a French choreographer named Maurice Béjart, and it completely made my brain explode because I'd never had any interest in formal dance or ballet or anything like that. I was so impressed because I didn't realize that dance could evoke feelings like that, that were that alien and yet minimal. And even the feeling of the video, the fact that it was from the mid-60s, compressed for YouTube, the colors had these kind of halos around them. I loved how pared down it was, and I just knew, well, this is the genre that I want Eminem and Isha to be, as like a video. Like, I want it to be this kind of, yes, the hieroglyphic hand dancing and stuff, but within this format of this kind of like 60s ballet. So literally the next day after she showed me that video, I signed up for ballet classes and started working on the dance, which took me about 3 months to finish.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, it's kind of obsessive, actually.
I read an interview at some point in the past year with you that you were saying, you know, obviously you get to travel all over the world, but you never, ever get to see it because of the touring schedule. Just curious, in the downtime between the records, have you been able to kind of fix that?
No, in the downtime, we've done exactly the opposite. We've become kind of little cave people, where we travel past from our respective bedrooms to either our computer or Dan Carey's computer, back and forth every day. But you know, it's funny because spatially we haven't been moving around a lot, but mentally I feel like we've been covering a lot of ground, or like musically and referentially. So that's the part that really excites us, anyway.
Yeah. And is there still going to be an album with violins at some point?
Well, funny, it definitely won't be with violins, although I do hope to tour with them. We're playing a show with them in mid-January, which I'm really excited about. George and I are always kind of messing around on something. Actually, just like an hour ago, we were talking about doing like a death metal record together, nothing but guitar and screaming. So there's always an idea being tossed around, but if we do it, it definitely won't be under our names, and definitely not under Chairlift and Violins. It'll probably be some sneaky alias or something.
That's not foreign to you, the death metal thing, the screamy thing, at least. I mean, that's kind of where you started, right?
When I was 17, I was in a couple new metal bands, but yeah. I was doing, like, belting singing, like, in a really awful way. Like, I would never play for you. It was like Evanescence or something. It was fucking awful.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait till the expanded editions come out in 20 years, and you're ready to let go of those.
Oh, no. That's never coming out, ever.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. So now we're going to do part two of this Rewind episode. This one goes back to 2017. That's when I caught up with Alison Goldfrapp to talk about Goldfrapp's album Silver Eye. We talked about why it signaled a return to electronic sounds. which they had sort of gotten away from as much anyway, using synth, but really taking a darker turn than they had done, and tracks that spread out and explored the direction that they really just hadn't taken before. It's an album that I still love listening to. In fact, I love all the Gold Frap ones. But this one, again, from 2017, it's part two of this Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Allison Gold Frap.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Welcome back to the game.
Did I go away?
I guess you didn't, because I've read that you have stayed busy the whole time. But, of course, there's that whole perception from
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we toured for a good year and a half after the last album, and then I had a little sort of a very wee teeny weeny little break, and then got back in studio. But the perception is that it has been 4 years since the last album.
And it's interesting, you know, when you compare albums, which is probably not fair at all, especially for a group like yours, because you've sort of made a career out of, you know, changing up the game every single time. But I don't think you've made as dramatic of a jump as you have for the last three albums. Especially, I mean, Tales of Us was so laid back. I don't know if this is the right word, because there was a lot going on in those songs. But, you know, I mean, did touring that, as you said, for a year and a half, make you want to get back into something more upbeat, electronics as it is?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? It's not a conscious decision, but at the same time, it does feel a bit like we kind of rebel against the thing we did last, you know, if that's the right word. But yeah, it's never a conscious decision, but it just, I think, to be honest, we sort of wanted to do something more electronic for a while, but it was just trying to figure out how we were going to do it, because we don't like to repeat ourselves, and we kind of wanted to do something a bit like Supernature, but we didn't want to sort of, we wanted to sort of explore a slightly different area. So it took us a while to figure out how to do that. Like when we got back in the studio, we started with a sort of mix of acoustic instruments and electronic stuff. And then we thought, actually, no, we don't want to do that. So it became all electronic. So no acoustic drums, no acoustic guitars, nothing, no strings.
Well, I mean, when you're working like that, because it's really interesting to hear you guys talk about going in there, you know, and from scratch and just starting to build something and then wiping that all away. I mean, you're sort of throwing things away for the sake of the art, which, you know, is completely commendable. But does it ever hurt to let some of them go? I mean, it's almost like choosing a direction, and maybe you wonder what was down that other path, you know, at some point, whatever you've.
Well, it's always a bit scary, I guess, you know, because it doesn't make your life easy, because you're kind of, you know, you're sort of reinventing. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's a bit. I do sort of think, God, yeah, we don't make our sort of life easy for ourselves.
But I mean, it works for us that you don't make it easy for yourself. So
yeah, well, I don't. You know, I'm not interested in a formula. That seems sort of kind of pointless, really. You know, I always want to sort of try out new things, and I like the spontaneity of not really quite knowing what's going to happen, or. Yeah, that's exciting. It's part of, you know, being creative and fun of that.
That first single, Anymore, which is is great. I started laughing last night when I realized that it's more or less just three chords, right? Like that whole
song. Yeah, it's very simple. It's very simple. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Kind of that definitely was one of the things wanted to try and simplify, sort of more space, put more space into the music. And I think in past albums there's always a lot of layers and lots of parts, components to things, which is great. But I think, it was something that we were quite interested to sort of strip things back. And the thing is, I think something can work and be very, very simple. I think that's a really good place to be, you know, especially when you're dealing with sort of rhythm and, I mean, Ooh La La is really simple. I mean, some of the best tunes are, I think,
right,
you know,
right.
some of the
some of the best tunes written are kind of dead simple.
It's I mean, it's, I guess, as close to punk rock as you guys get, but I mean, which is unfair. There's a lot going on.
Well, there's
with
something
those three
quite
chords.
Sort of tribal about that kind of simplicity, I think, which is really, you know, appeals to some inner basic need.
Right. And I've heard you, and the video for Anymore is really beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you like it. Yeah.
While
good.
We're still talking about that. And I've seen the word androgynous thrown around quite a bit with that. And,
yeah.
And I guess that's happened to do with... I don't know if that's your intention or if that's just the press looking for a word or anything. But, I mean, that's something artists have been exploring for a long time. And
that's true. Yeah, for sure.
And if that was the case, what drew you to it? What made you want to explore that?
Well, I think I've always... Well, when I was a kid... When I was really little, I had a crush on a girl at school who looked, she was Spanish. I went to a convent school, and she had that sort of tomboy look, which I found really appealing. And, you know, I had a crush on Joan Jett, and then I remember Mark Bolan, I had a real crush on him because he kind of, you know, and then I was obsessed with Prince because he was, I think I've always been fascinated by, you know, and Bowie and, you know, women, men who sort of somehow are a mix of lots of things, and that's always, that aesthetic has always appealed to me. I find it really interesting and beautiful, and I think... There's, I, you know, I've always kind of had an admiration for women who don't have any hair. Mm-hmm. I think there's a part of me that kind of, I wish I had the nerve to shave my head.
You can do it.
Hair's such a, I know, I used to have pretty, anyway. And there's a sort of combination of lots of things and then, you know, a sort of, kind of a few film references that I was very interested in, The Holy Mountain, for instance, and that kind of sci-fi. I don't know, it resonates something. There's a lot of things about it that appeal to me, and it's so strong and striking, and I think it's sort of very beautiful in a kind of quite sort of rather brutal way. I don't know. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I'd like to, I mean, personally, I don't know if we're getting closer to that future, the androgynous future, but I certainly hope we are, you know, whether it happens or not. And I see it in the younger generations more and more, especially.
Yeah.
Lately, you know, so.
Yeah. And I think, you know, girls not wanting to wear so much, just being wanting to be rid of all those things that feel like hold us back sometimes and feel trapped by as well, you know, hair and makeup and mm-hmm. I don't know. I suppose that there's lots of things to find it appealing. Yeah. Lots of reasons.
Well, again, it's made for a really fantastic record. All of it's well beyond that. I love that you've done it again and that you're back, and appreciate you taking this moment with me today too.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. It was very nice talking to you. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
There you have it. A rewind with Allison Goldfrapp and Caroline Polachek. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every week. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give this series a rating and leave a review as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s, the best in new music. You get bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from the Ramones, Alanis Morissette, Depeche Mode, Yazoo, Erasure, Black Oak Arkansas, Stevie Wonder, Faith No More, Royal Otis, Florence and the Machine, The Decemberists, The Kills, Rage Against the Machine, Bad Bad Not Good, Nation of Language, and my interview with Vince Clark. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.